back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Our guest is Debbie Bacigalupi, passionate, oh, ever so passionate about what she's talking about. You know, the sixth generation cattle farmer, and looking at everything, looking at her livelihood being completely destroyed. And that's not overstating the issue, but equally important, I mean, to make this all about us as well, if we don't wake up, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't listen to what Debbie's got to say, if we don't stand up and say, no, not anymore, not one inch further, and as a matter of fact, if we don't go on the offensive to knock back what these leaders or these elected officials, I hate to even say leaders, because they're puppets on a string of the globalists. If we don't do something right now, then not only are we going to suffer, but our children are going to suffer, and their children are going to suffer. So we have to, and more, this is what, folks, I'm preaching here, and I guess ranting, I don't know. But you know what? We need to rally around each other, and we need to rally around Debbie. Her website is technocracy.news. Listen to what she's got to say. Back her. Get her message out. Help her get her message out. Because what's the alternative? The alternative is your life in a 12 by 10. Oh, how glamorous that is to live in a 12 by 10 container house. It's just so much fun, you know, where there are TV shows out there that, of course, glamorize this kind of living. You talk about brainwashing. What a bunch of malarkey that is.
Is it tiny houses?
I don't know. Tiny houses for idiotic people.
It works for some people, but to be forced to do this in the name of a lie, that's something else.
You know, I mean, if that's the way you want to live, then fine. All right, because you could put one of those houses, I'm sure, in my foyer. All right, I just can't imagine people, normal, sensible people with brains that want to live that way. Before we get back to Debbie, I just want to just welcome to our family of sponsors and our family that products that we believe in. Block It Pocket. Have you gone to Block It Pocket? Do you have any of the items marketed by blockitpocket.com? I'm going to spell that for you. All right, BLOCKIT pocket, blockitpocket.com. Folks, visit their website, check them out. They are a U.S. family owned company. They've got marvelous products, everything from the regular blockets, you know, the items that you can, the pockets that you can put your phone into.
Yeah, the RFID protecting.
Right.
Fabric or whatever it is. And with identity theft and false card readers being a huge problem, they have the criminals are always rolling out these new technologies. And one of the latest ones is something that's hooked up to an ATM where they can multiply or duplicate your card and get the information from the magnetic strip, and it looks like everything's normal, but there's a little device they place on the ATM that gathers all the information.
Well,
the big problem.
That's right.
And the chip that's in the cards that many said would lead to more secure debit and credit card transactions is actually just as much of a security issue as without the chip.
Exactly. Well, folks, blockitpocket.com, their products include the Block It Pocket, Block It Talkit, Block It Laptop, Block It Blanket, Block It Hat, Apron, Headband, Handbag, the RFID Safeguard. You know, they've got so many great products. They're all 100% guaranteed. And they're a great company. So welcome to the Hagman and Hagman family. Block It Pocket. I am just so proud to have them. We use their products all of the time. My wife uses the Block It laptop for radiation, and she uses Block It Talkit to when she's using her cell phone. So, folks, blockitpocket.com. Go there now. Order their products. We 100% endorse their products and let them know you heard it on the Hagman and Hagman Report. Debbie, thanks for your patience, and thanks for being such an impassioned spokesperson for the truth and everything you do. I could tell, man, listening to you, it just tugs at my heart and my intellect. Thank you for what you do.
Oh, for providing the opportunity for people like me to share with such a wide audience. Thank you.
Well, you certainly are a shining star. And I'm not blowing smoke. I'm being very honest, because if more people would be like you, go out and do what you're doing at a cost to you, emotionally, mm-hmm. you know, and you're not, if more people would do what you do, and your writings, your creativity, your research products, all of this, your presentations, thank you for doing it. But if more people would do it, we could solve a lot of these problems, but we've got a long road ahead of us.
I grew up with a dad who said many hands make light work, and I agree. If there the wear and tear on not only our vehicles, our computers, our equipment, but you know, it even expands into our health, and I get a lot of migraines after I give, or not a lot, I get migraines after I give a presentation that, and I believe it's because I'm in front of my computer for hours on end preparing, and then the worry and, you know, wanting the message to resonate and people to be in action. And so there's a lot of wear and tear on this. And yeah, I say, gosh, if we had, you know, the majority of the population who are standing up and saying, not that they're not, but that more people who were out there trying to get to just anybody, even standing in the grocery store line, I'm sure I've shared with you before that even when I'm in a grocery store line and in California, they ask us if we want to buy a bag. And I always say, is it a government bag? And, or something to the sort, or I won't buy a government bag, or, you mean to buy, I'm going to pay 25 cents for plastic to put my plastic toothbrush that's in a plastic container and my plastic food, you know, stored food products that I'm buying from you. I'm going to put all that plastic in this plastic bag and use my plastic credit card to put in the plastic card reader so that you can charge me 25 cents for a plastic bag to carry all my plastic. I mean, just anything, right? I just come up with something that's just like creates the ludicrousy of all of this, the craziness of all of this. And so wherever I go, if I'm on an airplane, I'm bringing books with me that I'm going to make noise and I'm going to have conversations, or I'm going to joke. You know, I went to speak in Idaho, which I hope to tie into what Joe is going to question. I think Joe is going to have for me coming up, but when I was gone on the airplane and I was hoping to do some skiing in Idaho, I had a connection and I sat right in front of the same couple as I did it from San Francisco to Seattle and then Seattle to Tacoma. And we sat in the same, like I sat right in front of them on the first flight and we all sat in the same seat. Probably not an uncommon thing, but so anyway, when I got back to my seat, they were already seated. When I was getting on the plane, they were already seated and they said, "Hey, we recognize you. And where are you heading?" And I said, "I'm heading to speak in Idaho." There's an opportunity for me to say what I'm speaking about, right? "Oh, what do you do?" Right? I have little bombs. I drop little bombs that then people want to hear more. And then, you know, when I know I have an access to talk about one of these things like global warming. So what was brought up is I said, "Yeah, and after I speak, I hope to go skiing. How's the snow?" And I knew the snow was great. "Oh, the snow's fast. It's epic right now." And then I'll say something like, "You mean global warming hasn't impacted your epic snow?" And then I find out, I get a feeling for how people are in my area, right? Because I'm going to get a response. Most of the time I'm going to get, in where I live in San Francisco Bay Area, I get the response of, uh-oh, I'm among wolves right now. I got to go to work, right? You know, there's not this, what's that called when you have, not preach into the choir, but you all agree. So for me, I look for opportunities to speak to people who don't agree with me. And because I know that our war for freedom and liberty and truth is one person at a time. And sometimes we get really, really lucky and we get really, really blessed and we have a room of 30, you know, adult student learners or a room of 300 patriots who some people have never even heard of Agenda 21 before. But no matter where I go, I am constantly dropping little bombs and putting, I don't know how to describe that. I'm creating openings for me to then educate, communicate, because I will not hibernate until I see freedom and liberty, or I'm 6 feet under, talking to God and saying, have you come and got me yet? So anyway, everywhere we go, there's an opportunity. I mean, if you're at a gas station and somebody's across from you also getting gas, all you have to do is comment on the price of gas, whether it's gone up or down. Yeah, isn't it amazing to see that gas prices are dropping? You know, they always talk about our carbon emissions and carbon footprint. I mean, you can go anywhere and have a conversation. And any conversation to me is better than no conversation that continues to lead us down this horrible, horrible, horrible rabbit hole called
Amen.
Sustainable Development Agenda 21 yep. Collectivism.
Amen. And people, I think we all need to be more outgoing like that. Take advantage of the opportunities. Even create the opportunities if they're not automatically presented to us.
And, you know, the Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, this is, you know, that's something that's been decades, maybe even centuries in the making. You know, the manifesto of the UN is transforming our world, the 2030 agenda for sustainable development. They still carry the millennium development goals that were under Agenda 21. But, you know, in the preamble, it's interesting because it doesn't just cover, you know, our physical world. There's spiritual undertones in this. They refer, you know, they talk about earth worship, Mother Earth, Mother Gaia, as they say, and you know they say that we need to heal our Mother Earth and treat it as though it was an actual, you know, human being. And the agenda, in their own words, says it's a plan of action for all people, all countries, and all stakeholders acting in a collaborative partnership will implement this plan. And this plan is the future of humanity and of our planet, as they say. So this is an all-encompassing agenda. It's universal, as they say in their own world, in their own words, integrated and transformative vision for a better world. And then they say they need everyone's action and participation. And not
with
to go
no
off
one
on,
left
on this,
behind.
Yeah, yeah, that's actually
with no,
right
they
in their
say,
preamble.
With no one, yep, with no one left behind.
And you know, we talked about on the show prophecy.
Go ahead. Well, you said just a few sentences back, you said something like a better world or something like that. I haven't memorized their preamble. Sorry, guys. But anyway, something about a better world. Like, I want to say, according to who?
Mm-hmm.
According to who? So you all, wherever you are operating, being technocrats, using the scientific dictatorship, computer modeling, thinking that, you know, my ranch can handle several packs of wolves, the cattle on our ranch are, you know, food sustenance for their pet project animals that are not about balancing the ecosystem. But so according to who? That's what I want to get. According to who?
Yeah, and it's not even just about, you know, healing planet from emissions and carbon dioxide and litter and whatnot. It's an economic agenda. And in their own words, they talk about combating inequality, not only from redistribution of wealth, but they, you know, they want everybody, you know, a universal wage, and they talk about this agenda will only be possible if the wealth is shared and income inequality is addressed. This is international socialism.
Well, communism.
And yeah absolutely.
It is social engineering at the ultimate level. To me, it's pure evil.
It's pure evil wrapped up in a feel good message to make it seem to play on people's heartstrings and emotions. Who don't know any better.
And Debbie, if I can interject or go ahead and finish that thought. I've got a question I need to ask you, but go ahead, finish that thought.
Oh, well, I'm not sure what my thought was at that moment. I have so many thoughts that as you know, as you say things, different things pop into my mind, right, on how massive this is. Oh, on saving the environment, here's what I thought about. Is the EPA can do a massive spill, right? Supposedly they're all about saving planet Earth, and we need to be, we ranchers and farmers and landowners need to be regulated more. They can have a massive spill from a mine that contaminates a river for, I don't even know how long, millions of gallons, and they get a hand slap. You do that, you would be in prison right now. And you would be paying out the nose for the rest of your life for whatever damage or no damage you did. It's not about the environment. It's about control. And it's about they get to say what the rules are. They don't have to play by the rules, but you certainly will. And if you don't, you will pay. And you will pay big time. This is like, you know, this is goes back to that abusiveness that I was talking about earlier. It is an abusive government that we are living under.
Man. Yes, it is. And, you know, this might be a good time to talk about, you know, we've seen Trump and the Trump administration take away a lot of the climate change initiatives, climate change action plan that Obama had, and remove all the climate change stuff from the White House. There was actually an executive order that he just signed pertaining to climate change. But Debbie, we were talking off air, and I guess regardless of what the Trump administration is doing, you don't seem to think that it's going to affect the overall United Nations agenda, first of all, and then second of all, that it would still, what they plan to do is still going to continue to affect us here nationally and locally, despite what Trump is trying to roll back.
Yeah, I think that if Trump does what he has promised he would do, which is, I believe he wants to control the power of the UN. Not control. Okay, so that said, that could be said, interpreted way wrong. I believe he sees that the UN does not belong in the business of the United States of America, in our government. I do believe that. I do believe if the United States says we are no longer funding, because we are the largest funders of the United Nations, we are no longer funding you, I think it'll have an impact. But how long is that impact? Because look, we're only 3 years and how many months away from the next election. They have the power, they being the United Nations, the people who, you know, tout the United Nations party line, the Green Party USA line, the, you know, social democrats, their talking points. So if you're going to march to that tune and you see that you have an opportunity for the next 3 years and however many months for the next election, I guarantee you guys, these guys are working really fast and hard right now. They may have gone subsurface, but let me tell you, the disease is continuing. I know that for a fact. I was just in Whitefish, Montana, and right before I got there, Whitefish, Montana signed on with ICLEI, the United Nations International Council on Local Environmental Initiatives, to help a little rural area like Whitefish, which is a beautiful mountainous, snow in the winter, great skiing, by the way. I did get my skiing in. Just a beautiful little town. And, but they've hired a United Nations non-government organization called ICLEI to help them through using software, signing an MOU, a Memorandum of Understanding with them, which, by the way, in the charter of the ICLEI, it states that I think it's Charter Section 1.7. It states that you also agree to the Earth Charter. What is the Earth Charter? It's the United Nations Earth Charter to replace the U.S. Constitution. We're talking Mother Earth, Gaia. It puts nature before human beings, but it's to replace the U.S. Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. And someone can look up Earth Charter USA and see what they're all about. It's this green movement. It's global warming. It's climate change. It's human beings are bad, and we need to figure out, we need to, you know, create biodiversity in the earth and reduce our consumption and all these sorts of things. So the fact that Whitefish has just recently signed a Memorandum of Understanding with ICLEI to take a measurement of their greenhouse gases and then work with ICLEI to figure out how the town, the city of Whitefish, can reduce its greenhouse gas emissions and move more to renewable. Do you you remember who's from Whitefish that Trump has recently appointed to the Department of Interior? Ryan Zinke. So where's Ryan Zinke? Ryan Zinke, that is your hometown. I hear crickets. He should be like, he should have shown up in Whitefish and said, wait a minute, what's going on here? I'm, you know, and if that, he was the only congressman for, Montana, and to say that he, you know, to suggest that he had, knows nothing about this. I mean, these are the people we're asking to, at this point, control our lives. So to think that United Nations Agenda 21 is stalled or under a Republican, conservative, whatever you want to say, I don't know how you describe the White House right now, because you would think that with Republican, there might be some big movement in places, but we've already seen that there's gridlock. And it's, to me, status quo. It's the same as always. And as we were talking earlier, Joe, yeah, I think that locally, so if Trump has an impact, I don't know how great it'll be. It could be an impact where other countries start to, the United Nations, its reputation starts to decline a bit. But again, you have people like John Kerry, Al Gore, Leonardo DiCaprio, a whole host of very, Tom Steyer, all these very, very wealthy, Sheryl Sandberg of Facebook, Zuckerberg of Facebook, Larry and Sergey, my former bosses at Google, Eric Schmidt of Google. Those guys all of them want to see this agenda moving through, the agenda of sustainable development. They all preach it. They all speak it. So I don't know what Trump's ultimate influence will be on other countries, because you have these very, very powerful, rich human beings, anti-human human beings, it seems, who are still, you know, pushing the agenda of global warming, climate change, carbon tax, the social cost of carbon, all those different agendas and movements. Locally, like in California, how many people even think that Jerry Brown, if Trump does away with the United Nations and quits funding it, how many people even think that Jerry Brown is going to give up his green agenda? He won't. And then he's going to pull the, oh, we're a sovereign state mantra. So he's going to use the federal government where he wants, collecting money for his horrible, horrible management of the Oroville Dam, putting millions of people in harm's way, potentially, scaring the crud out of millions and billions of people as, you know, the next floods and rains come through. So he collected federal money for that, but if Trump, if we undo Obamacare, he is going to claim, oh, state sovereignty, right? We're going to have our own health care system. Which state is the only state that has cap and trade? California. So even if Trump says, EPA, you're gone, out, no more funding, you're out of here. You're useless, you're destructive, you're abusive. Jerry Brown is going to keep on pushing, and then Gavin Newsom, if he's our next governor, is going to keep on pushing this, reduce our carbon emissions by 80% from 1990 levels, which they don't even know what those levels were. They weren't even measuring them like they, you know, they should have been. But anyway, so, yeah, I think that states like New York, California, Oregon, Washington, and some of these other radical left messed up states are going to continue to push cap and trade, a carbon tax, a universal health care system, regardless of the way the Washington, D.C. goes.
You know, what's so interesting and crazy about the main advocates for the carbon taxes and the implementation of the Agenda 21, more often than not, you have these, you know, paid propagandist people from Hollywood and in the news media. They're literally paid, cash to support an agenda, whether they believe in it or not. And it's hard to fathom that they would even believe in it in the first place because, you know, these Hollywood elitists would not be able to live in a world that they're advocating for under those conditions. I mean, we mentioned Leonardo DiCaprio earlier. But, you know, when these people start talking about, your carbon footprint and, everybody, needing to cut back on their emissions or greenhouse gases, these people are the biggest offenders. And it's hard to imagine that I think they believe that they are outside of the general population that would have to conform to these tyrannical government regulations. But and back to the governor of California, to Jerry Brown, what you said is very accurate. They, we see them denying the immigration is a great example. They refuse to implement federal laws on immigration because they don't agree with it. But then they turn around, and say, well, these guidelines or laws we will follow because this is something we agree with or believe in or are paid to believe in. But these ones we're not going to follow. Just as you said, we'll conform to the federal norms on issues that,
we agree with.
Deem, acceptable. And the ones that we don't, well, the government's out of luck. And
yeah,
it is just unbelievable.
Well,
The hypocrisy in the news media and in these Hollywood people, from politics to the globalist agenda. I mean, they're really cheering for their own and their, fellow brother and sister humans for their enslavement. Knowing full well they could never live under those conditions and never would agree to live under those conditions.
And this is where the Christian conservatives need to speak up. If you're a Christian, how can you even conform to that line of thinking? Being subjugated to it, to the will of these, earth worshiping, godless or the wrong God. It just makes no sense. So, wow.
Well, I think that we've kind of found out through, I don't remember her name, Kelly, Trump's, campaign manager.
Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah, and I don't know if you caught her saying, somebody asked, how were you so productive with his campaign? And she said something suggested that, unlike the men in Washington, D.C. who are too busy having affairs. Well, obviously there's women in Washington, D.C. having affairs because, too. Well, we hope it's men, women, right? So anyway, but, talking about Christians, a lot of them claim in D.C. claim to be Christians. And yet if you, and I was just in D.C. and I was just talking to politicians in D.C. And if you talk to them head on, straight on, and say, you have a problem here with affairs, adultery, all these different things. And a lot of the politicians, and they know that. They know that. They know it's a party town. They know that. So, and you know, if you know me by now, you know I'm not afraid, for the most part, to address someone. And, you know, the full-length mirror is a very interesting place to hang out. It's a very interesting place to spend some time. And so when we've got Christians who are saying one thing and doing another, I think we need to be, as Christians, people who will call people on it. And I know it's uncomfortable, but if we can clean up our act, so to speak, and not associate with those who are straying, and again, call them out, I think we can pull people back into being the Christians that I truly think that they really want to be. And they're just being pulled away. When I see Washington, D.C., when I look at what it is today, to me it's repulsive. It's disgusting, and it's repulsive. And it's embarrassing. But when I look in the mirror, it's a full-length mirror. It's an interesting place to be. And who have I been that the greatest nation in the world is so upside down now? So who have I been? And what do I have to do to make it right side up? And we have to begin with ourselves. And that goes with Agenda 21. It goes with our local government. It has to be local. It has to start with us. Doesn't matter what happens in Washington, D.C. It's a pretty messed up place right now. But and our greatest strength is in numbers, but also locally. Our investment should be local, in the children, in the students, in the teachers, in the, you know, even those politicians in our local city council meetings who have gone to bat for us. I can think of my former mayor right now, Matt Grocott, who went to bat for us on trying to get to stop my city, the city of San Carlos, from signing on to ICLEI. And I think that happened in 2010 or 11. I can't remember. It might have been a little bit later than that. And we all showed up to stop, you know, the city from signing on ICLEI. We were unsuccessful. I think we had 40 or 50 people there from all over, from Santa Rosa, which is several hours away, from Monterey, which is several hours away. And what Matt said to me one day is, he said, you know what? Every Monday night I go to battle for us, for the people who are the conservatives, the people who believe in freedom and liberty. And he said, and I saw you all around that time, and he said, I haven't seen you guys then. And he said, I am dying on a vine here. I go to bat for us all the time. And I said, and he said, it would be nice to see people show up and support me now, you know, while he's in these meetings, while he's in a city council meeting. And so, are we doing that across the nation? Are we showing up to these meetings to show those people who have stood up for us in the city councils, the board of supervisors, whatever it is in your area? Are you showing up to the meetings every once in a while to say, hey, I'm just here to support you and to give you energy and to keep you going? I mean, there's so much we could do, and there's, as Christians, is making things right, as people who support other people, as someone who's going to get themselves involved in. And by the way, I don't go to city council meetings, so I'm not saying these are all things I do. I don't. But I should be. I could be. I should be. And then there's that little voice that says, I don't want to, right? I don't want to. There's that gap between knowing what to do and actually getting in action and doing it. And whether you're Christian or whether you're a parent or any...
But you're active on other fronts. I mean, that's you.
Yeah.
It's
but I can also... I can always step up my game. All of us can always step up our game.
Sure.
And we have to.
Yeah. Yep. And the question I was going to ask you earlier, it seems like I'm bouncing around, and I don't mean to, but I mean, people might be listening to this and saying, well, this is kind of a nebulous topic, and things are not going to, maybe things are not going to really affect me that much, but if you really think about this, and please correct me if I'm wrong in, with respect to this, but, and again, I don't want to micro or downsize the subject to these small issues, but I think, you know, for example, the quality of our lives being affected under the pretext of sustainability. I'm just trying to think of things like the low flush toilets, what do you call those light bulbs? The squiggly light bulbs that everyone that wants to use and put in.
Everyone looks terrible right. under them. Oh, you look terrible. You know?
And then they're running commercials. You know, the hotels are you know, putting in water monitoring sensors to cut down on
the shower
water output in the showers. I just saw a commercial recently where they have a big campaign to get kids to brush their teeth. Well, they're showing commercials now.
Shut the water off.
Yeah, shut the water off while brushing your teeth. I mean, all these,
that's crazy. A bad thing.
No.
But don't ram the police enforcement down my throat.
And then in California with the droughts, people getting fined for watering their grass. And I can see in the extreme circumstances. But, you know, they make it seem like water is some sort of... Go ahead.
Yeah, also knowing, you know, the other side of that, the water situation in California is... So, yeah, they have this new mantra, brown is the new green. So a brown lawn is green, right? Brown is the new green. And they think that's a cute slogan. When you find out that the government, the California state government, is flushing millions of acre feet of water out to the ocean, just wasting it away.
Yeah.
Whether it's for the Delta smelt, or look at all the water wasted in the Oroville Dam, or from the Oroville Dam, because they, for 12 years, were not addressing the potential breakdown of the spillway. So they had to release tons and tons of water to take pressure off of the spillway and the dam. So wasted water when we could be building storage lakes here in California. California is a naturally a drought-ridden state. We've had worse droughts years ago. And we go through droughts all the time. But every year you hear, oh, my gosh, historic drought. Right? Why? Because they want to push us. They want to nudge us. They want to scare us using scare tactics to make us change the way we think and the way we act. It's called behavior change. And so with the water in California, things that people are hearing now is that farmers and ranchers, agriculture takes 80% of all water. Well, okay, let's think about that. You put a cup in the middle of a field, and how much of the water are you going to capture in that cup? Not very much, right? Well, we in California only capture, you have 100% water. I hope you can follow me on this. All the water in California, whether it comes from snowmelt or rainfall or precipitation or whatever, perspiration or whatever, you think about all that water. Of all the water that lands in California, we can't capture it all. It's impossible. You would need a huge cup in order to capture all, and a huge storage facility to capture all that water. So most of the water actually goes back to the environment already, automatically. Of the water that we can capture in California, it's only 40%. So 40% water is captured, meaning we can use it for something, whether it's for municipalities, showers, sewage, cities, ranching, timber, you know, watering, agriculture, 40%. Of that. So 40% we capture. Well, because of laws, regulations, the Endangered Species Act, of that 40%, 50% off the bat goes back to the environment. So you have the original 60% approximately. Now of the 40% that we capture, 50% goes back to the environment. So you're left with 40% for ag and 10% for municipalities, cities, sewage. Huge difference from what people are being told in the news, which is, yeah, agriculture is so not only carbon intensive, but it also takes a lot of water. and an almond, you're hearing all the thousands of gallons it takes to create an almond. Well, when you look at the big picture, that we only capture 40% of the water, and 50% of that 40% automatically goes to the environment. You're left with a smaller amount of water, and we use it wisely. However, the government is now releasing more water into the ocean. So, you know, it's, and then so now we need to, now we have water scarcity in California when we could, when we've been known to the world as the breadbasket of the nation, the sixth or ninth largest economy, not because of gold. Gold put us on the map, but agriculture kept us on the map. And so, you know, it, now we're seeing an attack on our agriculture. And so it, to me, it's, you know, it, when people understand the bigger picture, like when you see a low flushing toilet, imagine at a concert and you've got all these people using that low flush toilet, what is eventually going to happen? It's going to overflow. It's going to get stuffed. When I was at the Rio Earth Summit, one of the houses that I stayed in was, in order to control your use of hot water, because hot water takes energy, you've got to heat it up and then you get hot water eventually. But in order to get hot water, if you turn the shower spout on full blast, it was freezing cold water. But if you barely turned it on to where it was dripping, and I'm not kidding, you got warm water. But that's, you know, I think, Doug, those are kind of the impacts that you're talking about, like that right. You know, take a really good look at, you know, what about solar and wind? What if the, you know, for weeks and weeks, which we've seen this, it's cloudy, there's no wind, and it's rainy, it's cold, there's no sun coming through. The energy is not reliable, it's intermittent, and it's poor, and it's costly. So there's huge impacts in all of this, and absolutely it impacts every single one of our lives, every aspect of our lives, and the reason that it is so intrusive is, in their own words, in Clinton's President's Council on Sustainable Development, it was his Clinton's executive order 12852. They stated in the document called Agenda 21, I think it's a Sustainable America or something like that. I don't have the document in front of me right now. But that every human action must have a collective, individual and collective decision-making response. So every human action, that's breathing. And mm-hmm. every human action has an impact on the environment. So therefore, we must make individual and collective decision-making levels at every level in order to mitigate the impact of every human action on planet Earth.
And Debbie, think of this. You know, a lot of people have been seeing an increase of what's called the Internet of Things. These mm-hmm. are all different things that hook up to the Internet. We're seeing smart washers, smart refrigerators, smart thermostats. And one of the key agendas in this is information gathering and monitoring of consumers' habits, and they can, you know, see it's coming to a point, and I remember in Canada, you know, they can adjust your thermostat if they think you have the air conditioning on too high or the heat on too high. And this also, you know, goes to back to the Agenda 2030 and what they talk about as some of their goals, and that they talk about how we're going to have to change the way we live. In this Agenda 2030, they say we commit to fundamental changes in the way that our societies produce and consume goods and services. It also goes on to say that sure. governments, international organizations, the business sector, and other non-state actors and individuals must contribute to changing unsustainable consumption and production pattern to move towards more sustainable patterns of consumption and production. And they go on to say yeah. that our current consumption and production patterns are unsustainable, and they attribute that to our lifestyle. They say it's clear that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class, involving high meat intake, consumptions of large amount of frozen and convenience foods, ownership of motor vehicles and electrical oh, yeah. appliances.
Yeah, you ain't gonna be owning a car.
Air condition, expensive right. suburban housing are not sustainable.
That's right.
So having a car,
no, oh, yeah,
having a freezer and a fridge,
you won't have car ownership in 15 years, I believe.
Yeah, so what they want to do is fundamentally change lifestyle and consumption patterns to what they say is sustainable. And what they say is sustainable, obviously, is not what any of us would think is sustainable. And what they're talking about is rationing what they accept for food and energy for the rest of humankind. And that might not, you know, equate healthy living for all the rest of us.
Yep. You nailed it. That's it. And I know even as you were going through those items and coming up with examples, in my seat right now I was saying, gosh, that just sounds impossible. And if I hadn't been researching and spending thousands of hours in these documents as you guys have, I'd be saying, you know what, this is crazy. These admins, they're so crazy, they don't know what they're talking about. But you absolutely have nailed it. And this is why we see scientists like Dr. Willie Soon, astrophysicist from Harvard, Dr. Will Happer from, he's from Princeton, Dr. Patrick Moore, who started Greenpeace, he's in Canada, Anthony Watts, all these people, all these true, in my opinion, true scientists getting more and more active because they see that time is limited. And unless we reverse even the EPA's endangerment finding, which, you know, I just found out about the endangerment finding, which is, you know, numbers that where we can emit certain amount of carbon dioxide emissions, and that it was a court case, and that the EPA has based everything on this court case that the federal government must follow. When I heard endangerment, I was thinking endangered species or what? It is an area that here I am thinking, you know, I know all this. I don't know all this stuff, but I know enough to have conversations wherever I go about, you know, I could talk about this stuff with, even if you're going to talk about a baby, I can bring this subject up. I mean, it doesn't matter what subject comes up. I can tie it back into Agenda 21 because it, in fact, impacts every aspect of our lives. And the fact that these scientists who I just mentioned, Lord Monckton, who go around just like we do, trying to alert people and like we're warning them, this is coming, it's here. You may not feel it yet, but other people are feeling it. But there is this opportunity right now with the Trump administration to infiltrate with information the truth to get Trump. You know, his daughter Ivanka is a greenie. I just found out Chelsea Clinton is one of her great friends. Tillerson, that's what's his position within the
Secretary
within
of State.
Trump administration? He wants us to have a seat at the United Nations. He wants to agree with the Paris Agreement. He wants, and this is what, so we need to get to these people. We have to get to these people. And then we also have to keep engaged because in less than 4 years, we have another election and it's going to be here really, really fast. And every single day, I say, is a voting opportunity. We vote every single day with our dollar. Find out more. What other companies are in the Business Council for Sustainable Development besides Walmart and Disney and Coca-Cola, and use your dollar to say, I will not patron you. There are so many other stores and shops and that, you know, that aren't toting the green agenda in the United Nations Sustainable Development Party line. Don't shop at Walmart. Do whatever you can to not shop at Walmart. And patron, you know, mom and pop shops. Let's grow mom and pop shops. The only way that we're going to be able to do that is we draw a line in the sand. We understand what's going on. We educate ourselves, and then we act accordingly. And we have to lead the way.
We do. I mean, we need to show up. We need to play our positions, but we also need to take up the mantle of leadership in this respect. And I totally agree with you. And we need to kind of follow your lead, I believe, because you've been out there really shouting from the rooftops as well as inside the belly of the beast behind enemy lines at college campuses and elsewhere. So,
I love that. Show up. We need to show up. But yep. Do not shut up.
There you go.
And be loud and proud. Educate, yeah. Communicate, but do not hibernate.
Especially in the, you know, we talked about the political climate in this country and how we see these tactics from the opposition are no longer about debating on the issues. They're about silence, drowning you out. They're about censorship because they don't have logical or arguments that have any common sense. Their only tool now is to silence their opposition, and expect that to increase when dealing with debating global warming or man-made climate change, because it is increasing. And for whatever reason, whether a lot of these people are paid or they believe that this is the best thing for the planet. And you know, one thing that really gets me is we heard so much about proselytizing in the last decade, how, you know, that so many people are so sick and tired of Christians telling them that Jesus is the way, and they feel like they're being, that viewpoint's being forced down their throat. Well, you know, look 10, 20 years later where we are today. And these same people who are complaining about, you know, having this viewpoint forced down their throat are the same people now who tell you you have to believe the way they believe, and if you don't, you have no right to the free speech. And it's going to be, we're going to get to a point where we will be arrested, we will be fined, we will be completely silenced out, not because of the lack of us saying things, but because the opposition will not allow or tolerate the opposing views in order to get their agenda across as fast as possible. So there's never been a better time than now.
Right, and you know, and even that story is playing out in the Bundy case. You know, the Bundys were proven innocent. They're not guilty, and yet they're still being held in court right now. I think they have some continuing court proceedings, but because they weren't going along, I just read just a sad story about from Ryan Bundy about how they're being treated in prison. They're put in solitary confinement. I think what they are being put in is something that I stumbled upon several years ago called a communications management unit, and it's on Wikipedia, and you can be a U.S. citizen. You don't have to be a terrorist to be thrown in one of these communication management units. I was listening to a late night religious channel. I don't know what it was, but they were talking about how conspiracy theorists, how they thought that people who could be described as a conspiracy theorist, that would be me, because I talk about Agenda 21, and we know that our politicians like to say it's a conspiracy theory, even though we know it's fact, and Nancy Pelosi was the one who was pushing H. Conrad's 353, United Nations Agenda 21, Sustainable Development in the United States in 1992. And so even U.S. citizens who are innocent and they just talk, you know, bad about their government can be thrown in these confinement units where you supposedly lose your First Amendment rights. Well, things that Ryan had written and that somebody transcribed from a phone recording from prison was that they threw him in this dark cell because they were trying to stand up for their First Amendment rights. And so they were then, the Bundys were then called angry. He said in these dark cells, there's no light, there's no, you know, outside light, there's a toilet that doesn't flush. They can't brush their teeth. There's no toothbrush and no toothpaste. And when they're getting ready for court, they clean them up. They put them in regular jail cells or clothes or whatever. And then when they show up to court, they look like, you know, everything's great. So when you read these stories like this, and I just read this 2 days ago, and I was crying as I was reading it to my family, just going, this is unbelievable. This is America? That you would treat innocent men worse than you would treat someone who is here illegally? So these men who were not proven to be guilty for anything, and you've got illegal immigrants who have murdered people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're being treated with more respect. I was in one of the, I know we're going down to the wire here. I was in the court case in the first hearing. with the guy, and I can't remember what his name is, Francisco something. He was the one who, in San Francisco, think about Kate Steinle, who got killed, murdered by an illegal immigrant who is in Sanctuary City, San Francisco. He shot on Pier 4. Kate Steinle ended up getting shot and killed. I was one of the spokesperson for a rally that we did at that time. And shortly after that had happened, and Obama pushing the, you know, sanctuary cities. And anyway, I showed up to the very first hearing of Francisco, whatever his long name is. And I remember the judge calling him sir. And I'm like, oh my gosh, sir. And maybe that is a proceeding of the court, right? Where everybody is called sir and thank you. And, you know, there's just this. Oh my gosh. But then we treat innocent people like the Bundys as if they're trash. I mean, yeah. It's astonishing to me that, and where yeah, are and we? You know, like I feel helpless. I feel helpless in our system. Like, yeah, go ahead.
What can we do? I mean, and Debbie, we are in the closing moments here. But you're exactly right. I mean, what happened with the Bundys? They were found innocent of the Oregon standoff. But as soon as that happened, the government, you know, was very vindictive, went after them for what happened in Nevada, and they're still being held in jail.
You know, in selective prosecutions,
absolutely,
just like the Center for Medical Progress exposing the abortion infanticide murder mills. Debbie, I mean,
and you're right. The illegal immigrants and so many other groups. They're getting, you know, special treatment. And, you know, we see everybody else who's a law-abiding American citizen is almost put on a lesser tier than, you know, these special interest groups where they want special rights and privileges. And for some reason, the government, you know, is bending over backwards to give it to them. But folks, we've reached the end of our time. Debbie Bacigalupi is our guest and, just a fantastic job. 2 full hours of informative.
I love
Agenda
it.
2030, the United Nations, you know, revamp of Agenda 21. Anything upcoming? Any talks upcoming that you have? Anything else you want to promote, Debbie?
Yes, redpillexpo.org. Go to redpillexpo.org. It is a super fantastic, awesome conference that I'm planning with Patrick Wood, G. Edward Griffin, Joel Salatin, the lunatic farmer, Ty Bollinger, who talks about cancer, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Dan Johnson, who is at 18 created the People Against the National Defense Authorization Act. We're getting tons of people. It's in Bozeman, Montana, guys. So much fun. And what I'm planning, if we get a big crowd, I'm planning some pretty special things, but it's not your normal conference. Oh, so check it out. Sign up.
Red Pill.
Like blue pill. Red pill,
red
blue pill.
Pill
choose,
oh,
like
red,
the Matrix.
Red pill. Got it.
Redpill.org.
Wow, okay. And you're going to be there.
Red Pill Expo. Pardon me. Redpillexpo.org. Yes, I'm planning it.
Red
so,
pill.
Yeah.
All right, Debbie, thank you
there.
So much for joining us. Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. We've reached the end of our show. Tomorrow, Pastor David Langford and Steve Quayle will be with us, so make sure you don't miss that. Stay safe.
We
have a good night.
We've got to get to that Red Pill Expo. God bless you, Debbie. Thank you.